their lives in a horrible, dangerous place. Yet they are the ones, the majority of the writings that we get, that says that our joy can be absolutely full in Jesus Christ. So the sanctuary today doesn't wall us off from the emotion and the love that we feel for home and for other places, but that the sanctuary today is a place where we may find joy, this table today, to celebrate you with this family in particular. And to know that Gentile kings are great because they lord their power over their subjects. He says, not so with you. If you want to be the greatest, you must be like the youngest. If you want to be respected as the elderly, you must be like the infant. If you want to be the greatest, you must be the least. So in John 13, he doesn't teach them by lecture, as he did in Luke, but a powerful illustration. What is he about to do in John 13? He's about to wash their feet. The only narrative of communion that John gives is the foot washing. The efforts he leaves to the other gospels, that isn't his concern right now. For you and me, the second generation to live after the ones that don't get to live with the physical Jesus, those of us who haven't seen, the thing that he wants to emphasize the most and for us to remember the most about communion that night was the foot washing. It was custom that people would bathe before coming to a feast. But even in the walking from their home to wherever the feast was being held, they walked on dirt streets. And when they got there, their bathed, perfumed bodies now had dirty rugs. Now had dirty feet. So anybody who drew a feast, they would take the servant, the lowliest servant, the one with the least tenure, the one that was down, way down in the pecking order. They would put them at the door and they would wash their feet before they took their place at the table. The washing of feet was a ceremony that was supposed to precede even the entrance of the home. Jesus asked the two disciples who were always arguing the most about which one would be the greatest, and he sent them to prepare the baptism. I thought that would have loved something listening to Peter and John as they were preparing. They were doing their servant's work. But the reason they're going to there to wash their feet is because Jesus did it on purpose. They were supposed to. He was the one who sent them to prepare the room. If there were no servants there, they were the ones that were supposed to be doing it. They were the ones that were supposed to be waiting at the door to wash the disciples' feet. The two that argued all the time as to who was the greatest didn't feel that they had to wash anybody's feet because they were the greatest. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon the Tyrant, to betray him. And during the supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in his hands, and that he had come from God, and was going to God, is the way that it was set up, gets up from the table, takes off his outer robe, ties a towel around himself, pours water into a basin, and begins to wash the disciples' feet, only to wipe them with the towel that was tied around them. The two that were the greatest are sitting at the Passover table with dirty feet. All of their feet are dirty because the two criminals refused to do it. Now, we're not told what any of the other disciples did. I assume that the other disciples had no reaction whatsoever. There is only one disciple that was recorded to responding. And he responded the way that you would expect Simon Peter to respond. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered, you do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. In the Greek language, Peter used the strongest emphatic negation possible. Peter used the strongest language possible to tell them that he absolutely will not permit Jesus to wash his feet, no matter how often he has to think about it. No way in all eternity is what he told them. Jesus was given no choice but to answer with an even stronger reply. Unless I wash you, you have no share with me. We're not in this together anymore. Can you imagine Jesus looking at you and telling you that? they try to accept the things in their own way. Simon Peter says, Lord, that not my feet, but also my hands and my head. He's got to go one up on everyone else. He always had to go one up on everyone else. He's the leader. He's the greatest of them all. If Pharaoh just had their feet washed, then I'm going to have to wash my whole body. Jesus said, one who is bathed is not the need to wash, except to the feet, but his entire body. And you are clean, though not all of you. Again, a dual statement that Jesus used. He uses the fact that they bathed before as a spiritual analogy. He distinguishes between two kinds of spiritual cleansing. First, the fact. The first time someone accepts Jesus, making them right before God for their sin. The time they accept Jesus cleansing in his entire life. When did somebody come to do that? What bath do they take? Baptism. Jesus is using the spiritual analogy of baptism. And there's supposed to be another washing. The second, the foot washing. Christians need to deal with everyday soiling. When we came up out of the water, the world did not go away. When we came up out of the water, our nation was still hanging around. When we came up out of the water, we still had to live life on a planet with selfish natures and selfish enemies trying to get to us. So in other words, in our daily walk as Christians, what happens to our feet? They become dirty. ask God to do anything about them, because before he says it,